D-Mace, Fink, and Adonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I know you were listening, just like the rest of us, to Mike Borgonzi's news conference. What was your biggest takeaway from what we heard, or maybe what we didn't hear, from Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker within the past hour?
Hey, guys. Look, I think going into this, my thought was, at best, the vast majority of us would come out of this, media, fans, whoever's listening, at best thinking, okay, prove it. And at worst, I think some would come out of this going, yeah, okay, I've heard this before. Okay, go prove. Guess we got to watch you go prove it. You know, like it's one or the other. And I think by and large, I think the reaction today will be somewhere in the middle. I like much of what Mike Borgonzi had to say. I'll say like the live tweets and posts on X during the first hour with Brinker, it's extremely hard to dive into the context of what those posts are. I want to hear him say it or watch him say it more than anything. I think that deserves a lot more context there. And, you know, Stillman and others who have been there will certainly give us that. Here's the thing. I understand there is the hierarchy of who's in charge and doing what. At the end of all of this, guys, I think the important thing that they have to get right is that they know what they don't know. Because they don't have a ton of experience in that building right now. There's a lot of people either learning on the job or have been on the job for a very short amount of time, and they're adjusting to things. So if they get that part right, which is extremely difficult to do, when you don't have someone who's, you know, has the skins on the wall, so to speak, and has been in certain experiences. I mean, they've been in the rooms when these things have happened. Have they made the call? What it's like to feel the weight of the pressure to make the call on something? That's the intriguing part to watch here. And that's Chad Brinker's ultimate decision there. I mean, he is the football czar. He's the executive of all things football. I believe Borgonzi. I believe what they're saying whenever he's going to make the draft picks. But the tiebreaker scenario, I mean, that's clearly been some type of issue, because now Brinker is in charge of making that call.
There has been a lot of ambiguity regarding the Titans' power structure over the past couple of years. And we have some texters on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking about this structure and why do we spend so much time talking about it? Well, this organization is in disarray. And it has been for several years. Well, not several. It's in disarray for a few years now. And as they are trying to build this thing back up, fans want to know who is in charge of making these decisions. And although Borgonzi did say during the news conference that he'll have full authority of the free agency process and he'll pick the players and he'll run the draft, I felt then Chad Brinker, either this morning when he held his news conference that nobody could listen to, or even at this news conference, I felt like Borgonzi said something about, you know, I'll have full authority. But then Brinker would say something that seemed to undercut that. I just felt like we did not come away from the news conferences today with any more clarity on how this operation is going to be run. And I think that is an issue with Titans fans.
And we would see things, I think, with a clearer view if this hadn't been a change in philosophy or a change in overall the mission statement of how they're going to do things. We've seen the change over the last 3 years in the structure and doing either the 180-degree turn or pointing to what they're going to do different and why it's going to work. I mean, much of what think about what we heard last year with, you know, collaboration. You know, I think what we're seeing and what we're hearing today is a mixture of both. Like, that's why you have both ends of the, you know, full authority type deal. And they're trying to mix in everyone's going to be very collaborative in this process. It's hard to do whenever you have one person making the call. And I think that what they're trying to push across is Borgonzi's making the call unless Brinker is the tiebreaker. That's just, for whatever reason, very difficult for them to explain. And they're, for whatever reason, they don't want to explain it that way. Let me also add in, I've done a lot of thinking about this because my assumption was, and I think everyone would assume, Brinker's just going to go with the Green Bay guy. The fact that he went with Borgonzi, I know he's got a history with the guy, but the fact that he went with Borgonzi, they don't share an agent, which I think is important because a lot of times these GMs are interviewing people based on their agency, trying to get either an interview rep, or they're trying to pair up guys that they know and they don't really know each other. So it's an arranged deal through the agency. That's important to note because they clearly made a call based on what he wanted to do, not what he felt like, you know, he had to do. This can work. I don't want to shoot it down and say it can't work, but it hasn't worked when we've listened to what they've put forth in the structure elements of things over the last 2 years, especially. So what moves, what's going forward that will be any different? It's got to be the clarity of it. And that's where we're still scratching our head a bit, because again, I think we sit here today and we say we absolutely believe what and are engaged in what they're saying moving forward because we haven't heard this before. We have. And that's why I'm saying, I think that at best coming out of today, you had to have this kind of, okay, you know, kind of a very stern but believable response of, okay, go prove it, you know, go show us. And I think at best, that's what they got out of today, even from the naysayers. And others are probably just kind of an eye roll going, well, you're in the position, so you're going to have to go prove it or not. We'll see in a year.
The way I look at it is, it's just like an election. Listen, if you were for the guy before he got here, then or you didn't have no opinion before he got here and you listened to him, you probably formed the opinion of, hey, I like what he says. You know, he's been in Kansas City. But if you had a bad sort of outlook or bad perception of this whole situation, I don't think you walked out of it saying, oh, I feel much better now. I think you of it thinking, man, I'm in the same place I was in before I got there, in regards to what's going on as far as the structure of this team.
But Mace, I'm with you, man. I don't even think it's about Borgonzi, though. Mm-hmm. If it's just Borgonzi, I think everyone's in line with what he's saying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a lot of detail. There wasn't. It was very surface level. But, you know, we can look back on what we've heard in years past and say the same thing. But it's just about what's gone on with the detail in between press conferences of this month over the last several years. Mm-hmm. And it's that lack of clarity there that everyone's, you know, trying to figure out and scratching and clawing to get in terms of information. And look, that they want to let me give an example. They want to obtain draft picks. You know, they want, what, 12 of the top 100 over the next 3 years. These are the two guys that we are told were leading the charge and negotiating everything for the Legarius Sneed trade for a third round pick. So like that's an example of giving up assets and then now saying that they're going to obtain assets. Now, Kansas City did that, but I mean, Mike Borgonzi, if the, what PK was pointing this out, and I have no reason not to believe it from Kaharski, would Borgonzi trade Legarius Sneed again? That's a question to ask. And, you know, Brinker was on the other end of that. Again, I'm just going based on what's been reported and with what I heard today. It's a different philosophy than obtaining veteran draft picks or veteran players for an extremely valuable draft pick that they're now saying they wish they had.
Now, do you make of anything that Amy was not here today because she was at the Rand Carthon as well as the Brian Callahan? But she chooses not to, for whatever reason, she chooses not to be here with another. This is a monumental hire, I believe, because of the track they've been going down, the road they've been going down. And it hadn't been good over the last couple of years. So with that being said, this is a monumental hire. Why are you not here? And this goes to, you know, what the perception the fans have of her, an absentee owner or owner that meddles and then leaves and don't know what's really going on.
Look, all the only thing that cures that mindset is winning. You know, winning, and she'll be the owner that tailgates with fans prior to games. You know, the mindset will flip on Amy Adams Strunk. back and forth. I mean, that goes on with any organization. I think her not being there, I would say is expected, quite frankly. Maybe you guys disagree, but this is in line with exactly the way they laid out things through that press release and through, well, if not a press release, through the article at TennesseeTitans.com with Jim White's article with the quotes. Burke Nyhill clearly said that everything else outside of football is he's overseeing over that. And Brinker is the executive in charge of football. That guy was there, and he more or less it's his department, and it's on him. Well, now it's on him and Borgonzi, and we'll see how much they disagree. I doubt they disagree a whole lot. I mean, I don't know why you hire someone and why you take a job with someone that has the type of power Brinker does if you're not going to see eye to eye on many things. And the question really isn't about what they do with number one, because they can answer that question fairly easily. There's only one pick between now and pick number two, and it's the Tennessee Titans. They'll have that figured out before draft day even comes. But the rest of the draft is really where you start to see how they maneuver and how they manipulate the draft to get what they want. And if it's Brinker that wants to make a move, it's going to be Brinker's call. But it's still Borgonzi who's making the picks. I think that there's still, you know, a bit of there's plenty of questions there. Those are the questions we have. Amy Adams Strunk has already made it clear that Brinker is the tiebreaker. He has full authority.
You're right. He's making the pick.
Yeah. But
Brinker's actually making the decision. You can go. I made the decision. Here, Willie, go ahead and call Goodell and tell him this is who we want to pick.
And hey, I you're right. I mean, I'm
saying that tongue in cheek. I'm kidding, but
I know. Yeah. But like, if we've ever been in a meeting, there's still a lead. Someone's in charge of the meeting, even if that person that's in charge isn't leading the meeting. You know what I mean? Like, you're still going to throw out questions and ideas, and you have some collaborative assets or aspects to it. But after the meeting, there's still like one, two, maybe three people that get together in an office and still discuss what just happened and then come up with the consensus. And the consensus is who's making the decision. That is always going to be Chad Brinker.
Yeah, I think you can't blame Borgonzi for things that have happened when Brinker was around. I think all the questions are surrounding Brinker and his ability to execute this. I agree with the philosophy of it doesn't really matter what your title is. Your title could say something one way, but it really doesn't mean anything. It's how you work together. So let's just see how it works. I think there is some skepticism that Brinker could pull it off just because they've struggled so much. Here's one thing, Hud, I wanted to ask you about, and that is I was a little, I shouldn't say surprised, because I knew there was so much that was going to revolve around who makes the final call, et cetera. But I didn't hear a whole lot of expectation level, how long Borgonzi thinks it's going to take to build a roster that he's grown accustomed to for Kansas City. If he thinks it's realistic that you could fill all the holes in 1 year. He didn't have to say rebuild in my mind, but I didn't think there was a line of questioning that pinned him down on that. He kept it pretty vanilla and he stayed away from that topic.
Yeah, and the big question too, Willie, is quarterback. Like, which way they want to lean, or, you know, if you're talking about this job, aren't you talking, are we going veteran, are we going rookie, and how you view things right now? I mean, that's imperative to answer the question you're bringing up too.
Yeah, and it's early. I think I've heard more than one general manager saying, hey, look, I just got here. We're going to start this process. I'm going to start really getting down and dirty with what we have and what we don't have. But I think you should be able to understand enough of where they are to be able to give people a picture that, hey, this is going to take a while. You know, I don't think he emphasized it very much, especially after what Amy Adams, I think Amy Adams was the one in that release that set the bar higher than it should have been, and that put everybody in a bad spot when she said, we've got the great young quarterback. We've got all these great young players. We just need the right coach. And I think they're going to learn from that. But I think I was looking for even more of a, hey, look, we've got the first pick for a reason. There's amazing things happen in this league. There's always a team that turns it around. But realistically where we are right now, this is going to take a little time.
Yeah, and you know, it's you know, when she said that, she actually said in her own quote, she was unapologetically she was unapologetic about having high expectations. So, I mean, I that hasn't changed. Just look at her moves each offseason since then. Like that has not changed, and I don't think that will. So I think that's part of it. There's you have an owner who wants to win, that is willing to spend money to do so, is willing to pay people that aren't working for her to not work for her, and to go pay new people, and then and assign roles that are, in her mind, definitive of who has power, and then those people delegate. But within that, you have those that are making decisions, realizing where they are on the roster. They're telling us that the roster isn't good enough. I mean, we know that. I mean, they know that. They've said that. But then you have the ownership is saying, yeah, we have higher expectations than where Mike Vrabel was. We certainly have higher expectations than where we were this past year. So the pressure's on not just to gradually staircase this thing, Willie. They need to show improvement and development. And that's really the key here. It's how long does it take? It cannot take them that long at all to show improvement and development. Where they want to get back to the postseason may take a year or two, whatever. But they have to show that they're in line with doing that. And that's what's held back the roster. And why she's made the move she has is because she doesn't see any step forward in the process of getting back to where her high expectations are. That I think that's the key for this group is they don't need to set the bar so low that they're looking 3 years ahead. I think the near future is just as important for them as the three-year plan, but they have to stay within a three-year framework in order to achieve the goals that they ultimately want to build the roster back. But they have to build back the top end, the upper crust of the roster to a point where they're showing that they're headed towards their ultimate goal. They haven't done that.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every week. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. Talk soon.
Yeah. Hey, and draft, develop, retain. That's what they haven't been doing.
I haven't seen that on a T-shirt yet. Have they printed those T-shirts yet?
They should. It'll be in the facility probably. Look, it sounds so simple. Every organization wants to do it.
Not
every organization does it.
That's right.
They've got to do it.
Thanks, Hutton.
Hey guys, thank you. Always enjoy this.
You have to draft players that you end up wanting to retain.
Exactly.
They haven't wanted to retain some of these guys.
Yes. Step one.
No doubt.
Draft. Step two.
They could have retained Caleb Farley. That probably wasn't a good idea.
No.
They didn't want to.
No need to retain.
We shall see, my friend. Hutton, thanks as always.
Yeah. See you guys.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction. We've got lots of texts to get to. You can call us as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
I'm thinking that the team might not be signing free agents at all or close to that. I guess I just wondered, can you clarify a little bit your sort of policy on being more selective in free agency than perhaps the team was?
Yeah, like I said, I think, you know, we're going to be a draft and develop team, but we're certainly going to, you know, have our hand in free agency at some points, but you have to be disciplined and smart with it. You know, I think it's important to, like, fill for role players, you know, and guys that are locker room, good locker room guys. And when you have a young team, those are the type of guys you need. And like I talked about before, like, that's what we did in Kansas City when we weren't a very good football team. We brought in some tough veteran, smart guys that could really change the room. And guys like Anthony Fasano and Mike DeVito. So, I think those are the things we're probably going to be looking at.
That was new Titans GM Mike Borgonzi discussing his approach to NFL free agency. He wants the Titans to be more selective in free agency moving forward. Derek, let's just talk about some of the free agents that the Titans signed last year. Calvin Ridley, Lloyd Cushenberry, Chidobe Awuzie, Kenneth Murray, Tony Pollard. And I would say they got a hit rate of about 2 out of 5. So what's that? That's batting 400 of those five. I would say Calvin Ridley turned into a good investment. Didn't start that way. Mm-hmm. I thought Tony Pollard was solid throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Cushenberry was injured. Awuzie was injured, and when he wasn't injured, he wasn't that effective. Mm-hmm. And Kenneth Murray, wasn't very good, in my opinion. So if you want to throw Snead in there too, he wasn't a free agent, but if you want to throw Snead in the mix, he was hurt as well. Last season certainly proved that winning free agency doesn't mean winning football games. Mm-hmm. So if the Titans are going to be more selective in free agency, Derek, what does that mean to you?
Just going out, getting players that they feel are perfect fits or close to perfect fits for their ball club. Someone that embodies whatever culture they try to build. I do think Kenneth Murray was a good acquisition. I think he was still learning the defense, as everyone was. But I think his upside is pretty good. I think his second year in his defense, obviously him coming off an injury now, he will be rehabbing. But I think he'll be much better in his defense come next year. But, yeah, but when you're talking about free agency first you got to evaluate the free agency. Is this a strong free agency class? Is it not? I don't know whether this is a strong free agency class or not because, they haven't really – we don't know guys that are on teams now. They're going to be eventual free agents once it starts. So it may look weak now but then improves as guys are starting to be released in the NFL calendar year. So I don't know whether it's a deep free agency or not, but you have to, regardless of how the free agency market looks, you still have to be judicious on how you go about the process. You still have to be sort of selective, especially a team like this. You can't try to go from, 40 to 100. Can't try to do that. What you got to try to do is gradually get up to that. And what does that mean? That means identifying, the free agents that will potentially pick your team, fit your team. And it may not even be a high-priced free agent. Every free agent you get isn't a hit or a bust because of how much you pay them. It's once they get here, because they could have been a hit somewhere else. That's, a lot of times the big-name free agents are hit somewhere else, and either the team don't want to pay them or they think they're slightly a little bit on that edge of they're getting to a point where they're starting possibly to decline.
Go ahead.
No. So, free agency is about just identifying those guys that best fit your system and what you believe as an organization, whether they are high priced or they are sort of like second tier guys.
Aquarius is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Aquarius, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Derek Mason. Big time fan.
Thank you.
All right, man. From Michigan, too, man. So I had to call you and say what's up. But anyway, I feel like, that face that when your friends or somebody, your teacher, somebody's telling you something and you don't believe them, and you make that face, that black guy face they make? Man, what the? That's the face I was kind of making. I was kind of making that side face like, yeah, all right. You're kind of doing good just telling us things. But I did appreciate what he said about free agency. Mm-hmm. That made me feel good. I seem like we've been getting kind of got in the free agency. We've been getting got lately, and I'm getting tired of getting got. So that's all I got to say. I kind of got the side face. I don't know what to believe, but I'm always going to be a Titans fan. Bleeding two-tone blue. So
thanks for the call, Aquarius.
Thank you, Aquarius. And like I said, if someone walked in and, thinking one way and then walked out of it saying, okay, I learned that, then that's great, Aquarius. What he did like was how they sort of talked about free agency. Because like he said, hey, listen, we've gotten got too many times in free agency the last couple of years. Let us start doing the getting rather than being gotten all the time. So we have a fan, a true Titan fan, that did walk out of it saying, okay. In regards to free agency, I like what he said.
One texter says, I feel like there's nothing Borgonzi could have said that would have made me feel better. Because even though we really don't know what he's doing, he has Chad Brinker next to him, and that will always cloud my judgment. Another texter says, here's what I learned. The Titans are still the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL. Nothing has changed. Another texter says, if they don't crap the bed in the draft, they will ease some minds. So that is something I think a lot of Titans fans would agree with. Make the number one pick. draft that once-in-a-generation player, trade down, accumulate draft picks, try to build this roster back up. At the end of the day, Derek, we've talked a lot about this, and it's so simple. You know, it's so simple when we say it. Like, mm-hmm. we shouldn't have to say it, but we still do have to say it just because of where this team has been. Just win football games.
Yeah.
If the Titans show improvement on the field this season, and look, it's not going to take that much, you would think, to show improvement on this past season because they only won three games. But if the Titans go from a three-win team to a six-win team next season, I would love to know this, and perhaps we can ask Mike Borgonzi. Again, we are expecting to be joined by Mike Borgonzi on tomorrow's program. I would love to know what his reasonable expectations for wins and losses is this coming season, next season. I would love to get that on the record. He may not want to put that on the record, but would a six-win team, a seven-win team, would that ease the minds of Titans fans if they see growth, even if they don't make the playoffs? Because, look, we've talked about who has final say, not just this season, but the season before and the season before that, it feels like. We've been talking about this for a long time, and I understand Titans fans out there that want to talk about which player to take with the number one pick in the draft and talk about the action on the field. Unfortunately, the Titans haven't given us much reason to do that lately. We would all love the Titans to get back to where they were just a few short years ago when they were the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. But all of this talk about who has final say and who picks the players and all of that stuff, it's important. I am not discounting that. But winning games will cure everything that we've been discussing for the past few years.
Yeah, listen, it will. And hopefully they can get back to their winning ways. But, I mean, again, unless, you know, you guys heard differently, I don't know whether this is a rebuild or not. I know that, you know, I know that this roster is depleted. I know that they're going to have to build it up. I know that they talk about draft, develop, and retain. But, you know, it's where does this, like, where's this team at? Like, and you talk, you mentioned it. What would classify as a winning season? You know, is it six games, seven, eight? I'm sure he's not going to give you a certain number, a specific number. What he's going to say is, well, we just want to see guys develop within our system. We want to see the coaching staff get better. We want to see this. It's not necessarily attached to wins and losses. It's attached to, do we believe, you know, you're the guy for the job, or do we believe that the players that we've drafted or brought in, you know, they are developing within our system. You know, that's ultimately, you know, what's going to happen or what needs to happen. You know, but we don't, but I'm sure he's not going to give you an exact number.
Right. You're right.
Yes. In regards to that.
You're right. So, one texter says, isn't it a little early for expectations since we don't know what the team looks like? You're right.
Yeah.
So it would be unwise of Mike Borgonzi to come on this program tomorrow and says, we're going to win at least seven games next season.
But I do expect him to say, you know, to reiterate the expectations are to, you know, the things that they said today, develop, draft, develop, and retain. That's what the expectation is to draft our guys, see some development in them. And he's talking about, like, now development. He's not talking about, okay, these guys are developing 3 years. No, nobody knows if they will or not. He's talking about, do I see them developing week in and week out, practice in and practice out? If that's not happening, then, and we're not winning, then you've made the decision for me.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Mike Borgonzi's news conference. If you have thoughts on Chad Brinker's pseudo news conference before Mike Borgonzi's news conference, You can let us know about that as well at 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation next, including one person who was conspicuous by their absence in that news conference. We'll get to that next. Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin, 1025, 1063, The Game. Predators fans, tomorrow it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you can win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexrode tomorrow morning at 8:45. Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin here with you. Willie Dunnick, speaking of the Predators, he is off to San Jose with the team as it has a rematch against the Sharks tomorrow night in San Jose. A crazy game last night. We'll spend some time near the end of the program talking about that nutso game that the Predators won 7-5 against the Sharks last night. But we are still talking Mike Borgonzi, who was introduced as Titans general manager earlier today. We would love to get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025. Derek, you mentioned it with Hutton. There was one person who was conspicuous by her absence in that news conference room, Amy Adams Strunk. She was not present for this news conference. And during Borgonzi's news conference, when you pointed out to me that Amy Adams Strunk wasn't at this news conference, I went back and I looked at the Rand Carthon news conference, the introductory news conference, she was there. The Brian Callahan introductory news conference, she was there. Do you find it odd that Amy Adams Strunk was not present for this news conference?
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and you know, even though I love conspiracy theories, it does seem, because, and I'm not saying this, and again, even though I love conspiracy theories, what I'm about to say is not because this is what I want it to be, or I think it's some clandestine type of deal. It was just, she was at Rand's press conference, and I can sort of understand why she was at Rand's press conference. Their first black GM, first in franchise history, you know, that has held, you know, a title like that, you know, that's the highest title. Well, no, but, you know, being the GM, first-time GM. So she had to be there. So I can understand her being at that one. But then she was at the Brian Callahan's. That wasn't a monument. I mean, it wasn't like Brian Callahan was the first, you know, this and that. Yeah, he's the first-year head coach. But I would tend to think hiring your new GM would supersede that in regards of importance, you know, based on what this team has gone through the last few years. That if you're going to be there for a hiring of your head coach, which is big, then shouldn't you be there for the hiring of your GM as well? If it's only to do what you did with Rand Carthon, to make a statement so that the fan base can see that, oh, Miss Amy, she's there. Because the perception is right now, and I don't know if this is true or not. I'm not asking. I'm not at the airport every time Amy flies her private jet in and sort of tracking her every move. So I don't know if she's here a lot or not. I don't know where she lives. But the perception is Amy's not here. She's never here. She doesn't live here, not even part of the time. She's not here. She fly in for the games and fly out. That's the perception. I'm not saying that it's true because I don't know. But that's what the fans believe. And then on top of them still having this sort of ambiguity in your front office, the owner doesn't show up. Did she not show up because she was probably in fear that questions would be asked of her if she stayed there, even though she would have just gave a statement and sort of set to the side? Is that why she didn't want to be a part of this? Because again, this is a monumental hire, because this franchise has been going downhill for what, 4 years now? In the way each step, the sort of, it's the sliminess of it all. I'm not saying that it happened that way, but the perception of it all. And we all know perception is reality, whether you agree with it or not. I don't agree with it, but I know that's how it can be. So for you to not be there, listen, you're writing your own narrative, Amy. You are, be it good or bad. You have an opportunity to rewrite the narrative. Take back what has been put out there about you. You have control of it. But you chose to give that control to Brinker. And you saying, I'm staying out of this. I'm going to do this. I trust Brinker. I get you trust him. You should trust him. But you should also be here to control the narrative, your narrative. Again, I go back to you want these fans to pay that money. And I get it why you want them to pay that money. And that comes along with getting the NFL team in your city. You want it, Nashville? I'm not going to say you all of you wanted it. But the ones that did, well, here's what comes with it. And I said that long time ago. So, but if you're asking for five figures, six figures in some cases, from fans, then at least you can be here when a monumental hire is in place. Now, if you don't feel as monumental, then okay. That's what you feel. It's your organization. I want this organization to succeed. I want them to win. That's just the way it is. There's two organizations that I care about, and everybody knows what those two are. This one and the one in Baltimore. That's it. And I want both of them to succeed. That's why I love when they play, because I don't lose in any situation. I don't lose. But the perception of Amy is that she's an absentee owner that meddles. I'm not saying that that's what I believe, but that's the perception of what some of the fan base believe. But you gave him no reason to think otherwise.
So Chad Brinker, during his pseudo news conference earlier today, this was from Paul Kaharsky's Twitter, quote, Chad Brinker on why Amy Adams Drunk won't speak. I don't have any answer. I believe he also said that Amy Adams Drunk has empowered him and Burke Nihil to speak on her behalf. But then Paul quote tweeted his own tweet and said this, I asked if, as the team tries to sell PSLs, she's not a front runner. Tailgates when times are good, now delegates speaking responsibilities to Burke, Nihil, and Brinker. She'd accept the Lombardi Trophy and talk if the Titans win a title, but is AWOL now in bad times. There is a texter on our text line that says, the other perception from fans is that she will quickly return to the limelight when there's a success to take credit for. Meanwhile, when things are bad, she's going to hide. There are other texters who said, you want this organization to be run by football people. And now we're complaining when the football people are running the team. I hear what you're saying, Derek. The key word in all of this is narrative.
Exactly. I'm not saying it's true.
If Amy Adams Strunk has decided with this restructuring that Chad Brinker is her proxy and her lone responsibility is to say, yes, you can pay that free agent this much money, or no, I don't want you to pay this free agent that much money. If that is her responsibility, her only responsibility is writing the checks. If that's how she wants it, that's fine. I think what some Titans fans are not so keen on is the team is performing poorly, so she has taken a step back. If this team becomes a massive success and she's going to be out there in front of everybody again, you can't be a front runner, as Paul Kaharsky described. I think that therein lies the issue with some Titans fans. Mark from Nashville is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark, my friend, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, what's that? What's up, Adam and D, man?
What's going on?
Y'all been waiting to hear from me, man.
Absolutely. So,
I know it's me you're looking for, so here I am. In regards to Amy Adam Strunk, Adam and D-Mate, y'all right about everything. She's the owner. She should show up. She should do Q&As. She should make her presence felt. She owns that team. She really is hurting herself. She's already been labeled a bad owner, meddling owner. Whether that's true or not, we really don't know that. But she's been labeled that. That's bad enough. And she should have a lot of say, more say, talk to the media more. Like I said, it's her team. She should be there. Now, what the GM that they hired today, going to have to prove it. We've all heard it before. Some things he said was good. Some things we've heard before, though. So we're going to see. Time's going to tell if they can straighten this mess out, because it is a big mess there with that organization and stuff. And, hey, all I can say, I hope they get it done. I'm not a Titans fan, but I want to see them do well. My team, I'm not even going to say it on the air because they suck anyway.
Let's hear it, Mark. We need to know.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to tell you, Adam. I'm a Raiders fan. Always have been.
The Raiders just hired a new general manager. Did you see that?
I know. But, man, they're worse than the Titans. Mark Davis, he's got to go.
Hey, at least y'all got Tom Brady.
Let Tom Brady take over everything. But he's got to go, though, man. I mean, I'm about at that point with Amy. I sit here and tell myself sometimes, maybe she should just sell this team, man, and let a owner come in that's going to get that team back to respectability, that's going to be there like a Kraft or Jerry Jones, that's going to talk, not afraid of the media. I kind of wish that would happen. But, D-Mace, I want to tell you this before I go. I was looking at your numbers and stuff the other day, but I was also looking at my guys' number two, and you know, you probably know who I'm talking about. Torrey Holt.
Mm-hmm.
Both of y'all deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, man. I mean, both of y'all have those numbers. Y'all deserve it more than anything, man. So hopefully, D Mace, one day, man, I can sit there and look at TV and say, my guy, D Mace, finally, and Torrey Holt finally got that gold jacket. I'm wishing for that for you, man. No joke.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Mark. By the way, the Raiders have hired John Spytek, the Buccaneers assistant GM who interviewed for the Titans job. The Raiders have hired him as their general manager, and the New York Jets have hired Aaron Glenn as their head coach. So some breaking NFL news as we're discussing this. But we will continue this conversation because there's some interesting conversation in our text line about this. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Amy Adams Strunk not being at the news conference today? Big deal, little deal, no deal? And should she just stay out of it? Should Chad Brinker be her proxy, make all of the decisions? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The Game.